evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's Exmouth Town Council Planning Committee meeting on Monday, the 18th of March, at the Exmouth Town Hall. I have no apologies for absence, and there's no members of the public and no press. So we'll move straight on. Minutes of the meeting held on the 4th of March 2019. They have been circulated. I wish I signed them as a true record of the last meeting.
Yes.
Thank you. Declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Has anyone got any of the items tonight that they wish to declare any interest? There's no items of urgent business. So I'll move on to the planning applications. Brixington, application 19, lead 0359 full. Land, south of Elgin, Bassett's Gardens. Construction of new enlarged bungalow based on the outline approval reference 13 of lead 2589 outline and 14 of lead 1674 reserve matters. There is no comment from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Nicholls or Councillor Chapman?
Here we go again.
Yes.
Can we see before the ground plan, please, on the site?
They've used some of the garage.
Yeah. So it's right within the site, isn't it? And they've taken the top bit out and it's just a bungalow now.
It's changed quite a bit from the original.
Yes.
Yes. So I don't have any objections with it as it stands. As it stands.
You don't think I've changed again?
Councillor Nicholls, will you?
Only concern I have is that it's pretty tight to all the boundaries. So it doesn't even look as if they're going to have much of a garden in it. Because they've added floor space at the back there.
Mm. Problem is, it is within the boundary now.
It's not.
That's the problem, it's not as the previous applications that they've had.
But they've picked out bits and pieces that they want from the previous ones that are out of date.
Mm. It's tight.
Yeah. It is very tight, but there's a lot of modern properties are now. A lot of them just have a yard at the back. They don't have a garden, do they?
No.
A lot of people don't want gardens.
No. That's prepared. Sorry.
I think we'll just have to. Can't really pull it on.
So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Now move to the Littleham Ward, application 19, lead 0459 full, 15 Claredale Road, construction of single storey side rear extension. There is no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Humphreys?
I don't see any problem in this road.
I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. Now move to Town Ward, first application 19, lead 03964, 8 Henrietta Place. Conversion of an existing three-storey building into three separate flats and external alterations including extension of existing roof and installation of windows. No comments from statutory consultees, but we do have representations, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, we've had four representations, all objections. They say the lack of off-street parking as part of the proposal will add to the pressure on off-street parking in the area, which is already at saturation point with vehicles parked on double yellow lines and restricting access to emergency vehicles. They say the proposed new window does not match existing profiles and therefore detracts from the conservation area. There's concern that the bedrooms do not conform to the nationally described space standards and that there is no storage. There is also a loss of a family home provision. The gentleman number six said wanted us to note that number six and number eight were originally combined as one house, and the owner of number six has concerns that the dividing internal wall between the properties would not be meet building regs or noise control. Thank you.
Councillor Tony Hill.
Yeah, can we have a look at the existing elevation as opposed to that's the proposed, isn't it? Because I couldn't quite see from the drawing what the difference was on the elevation.
Existing elevation?
Yeah. They've done something wrong, but I couldn't see what they've done with the roof to the back.
You do something here, I think.
It's a very small alteration to the roof line.
Isn't it one window instead of one, is that?
Yeah, so if you can keep that in your head, the proposed is splitting this window.
That's building makes it people look at that, would they not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, being totally impartial on this one, if there is no substantial change to the appearance of the building, there's no substantial change to the footprint, the fact that they're converting it into flats and we need a lot of smaller, cheaper accommodation is not a bad thing. But I do sympathise with the argument that the density of parking is going to go up and be restrictive. So, on the face of it, I couldn't see a lot of reasons to object.
Okay, thank you. Councillor
Rob Basting. Yes, thank you, Chair. I thought there was minimal alterations to the exterior, and one of the flats will have two bedrooms. The building faces onto the police station at one side, and a bin store has been allocated, but yes, I agree there are potential problems with parking, but it is near the town centre. I don't know if nearby buildings have been converted to flats or not, but we might be setting a precedent here.
Well, the one at the other end, which goes on to Downing Terrace and Winter Square, actually is already converted into apartments.
Yeah, so
it's a multiple occupancy certainly.
So in this case, I feel that I would prefer to approve this for the sake of extra smaller accommodation.
Okay. Thank you. Do you want to make any comment, Councillor?
Yeah. Yeah, I do actually, and my comment would be, I accept all the points about parking, and they're always made, and you've always got the legislative problem there because of being in the town centre. But the thing about being in a conservation area, I'm again disappointed that we haven't had a conservation officer report on it. And personally, I don't feel like approving it without that comment.
No, I think we'd make it subject to, which we would normally wouldn't do. We would normally say that because it's in a conservation area, we do still need, we would have to make it subject to the conservation officer's report, and just a note that we are disappointed that this hadn't arrived in time for us to discuss this particular application. I think we have to keep saying that because they might hopefully take it in.
Just if I might complete and say that. In answer to the issue about are there other similar houses around which have been converted into flats, certainly the ones in Albion Place, just up from there, are quite a lot of flats in there. So they are big houses, and probably on three storeys you probably could accommodate three flats.
Okay. So it's been proposed and seconded for approval, but subject to the conservation officer's report. All those in favour? Against? One abstained? No. One abstention. Thank you. So that's approved. Now move to the next planning application in town, which is 03904 99 Salisbury Road. Conversion of garage, including installation of windows and roof lights to create two-bedroom dwelling. No comments from statutory consultees, but we have got a representation, which I'll ask Sue to summarise.
Yes, one objection, they're concerned that the removal of the car parking facility with the provision of a dwelling will push more cars onto the off-street parking, which is already seriously cramped in the area. The proposed dwelling will overlook the bedroom of the property next door and be an invasion of privacy. The site is within the back garden of number 99 and can set a precedent in the area. Thank you.
Councillor Mustang.
Yes, thank you. Yes, this building already looks like a bungalow, not like a garage at all. I don't see how it can overlook another garden as it faces at right angles to the houses at the back. But yes, it's a substantial building with plenty of room for a two-bedroom dwelling of reasonable size. The proposed roof lights are of the flush fitting type, so the actual exterior appearance will not change apart from removal of the garage doors and putting in a window, presumably. So the development, I don't think it will substantially alter the character of the building or the area, so I'm trying to propose acceptance.
Thank you. Councillor Hill?
I don't agree with this one, actually. I'm struggling with the idea that we have very carefully over a number of years pointed out to people who want to build garages that they can't build them with utilities and services such that they can later go back and ask for a bedroom or a conversion. And here we have an existing garage which we're allowing someone to change into a two-bedroom house, when we've always thought that garages were important to get cars off-road and give freedom of movement. So, I mean, there's nowhere in there does it tell me why they need an additional two-bedroom property within the curtilage of their home. And actually, because they're taking away the garage, which I think is as important to original property, I don't think we should approve it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Nicholas?
Where's the access going to be? Because if this is one of the ones that looks like all the ones, my in-laws used to live on Salisbury, and their garages they had built was facing into the back lane.
Could say, isn't this into the back lane?
No,
it's on the side lane. I can see it now. Thank you.
Okay.
Councillor Duncan?
Yes.
Sorry, Councillor Nicholas.
I just think that's going to be a supremely tight fit, you know, for access.
Where are they going to park?
Yes,
there
is me.
Not to where the garage doors are now.
Yeah.
Councillor
Duncan.
Yes, well, Maddie's comment earlier about the Bassett's Gardens one, I can repeat for Salisbury Road. Here we go again. Over a longer period of time, but over the last 10 or 15 years, there have been several attempts to create this dwelling. And in fact, it's arguable that when finally they approved, the garage, current garage was approved in 2009, 10 years ago now. My understanding is that Councillor Gazzard, Steve Gazzard, was on this committee then and opposed it quite strenuously with that window and things in the top, Tony. So there was an attempt at that time to turn it down. I agree with Councillor Tony Hill that we really should go for turning this one down again.
Councillor Toy?
Yeah, here we go again with the parking problem. Where do we draw the line where we can say we can't have any more accommodation, because the parking in the colony is absolutely horrendous anyway. I mean, if you can't, I don't dare drive down Salisbury Road in case somebody's coming the other way because of the parking on each side. So then we must get to a point where we've got to say no more accommodation in the town centre because of the car parking. Is there no way that we can get around this one? Can we not lobby East Devon?
Well, I think we have actually made that point a few times. The difficulty is that because it's in the town, it seemed to be on the bus route, it seemed to be within an area where technically we don't need a car. This is what the argument we made, and they did actually change the planning application. That's in Elm Road, that's on the, which was the Q Club. Because if you remember, they originally said they were only going to have X number of spaces, and we did actually make quite a statement on the fact that we felt that was insufficient for the number of flats or apartments that were going in that particular block, and they did actually change it. But I mean, planning law at the moment is still that, you know, because it's in the town, it's not necessarily they need as much parking. We have had parking, but they, unlike most places now where you get one and a half or something per house on a flat, and they tend to say we're lucky if we get one. But you know, we can make the point. But
is it not possible to put a condition on it that people without cars may buy it? But
sadly,
no,
not.
You see, this is the problem.
I agree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. Councillor Chapman.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Then can we say that we do not wish to lose the off-street parking in this area because of bad congestion?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, I don't believe we've got a seconder for Rob's original proposal, because Rob originally proposed the approval, but have we a seconder for approval at all? No. So we've then got a second proposal that is refused on the basis, really, of overdevelopment, I presume, and really, but also the fact that the loss of off-street parking by not retaining the existing garage would be detrimental to the area. By a seconder for that proposal? Yeah. So it's proposed and seconded for refusal. All those in favour of refusal? Those against? One. And refused. Okay. Next application is 19 of the 04744 Beach Hotel, Victoria Road. New access door in southwest elevation. No comments from statutory consultees and no representations.
Hi, thank you. Yes, at the moment, there's customers seating area outside the front of the beach hotel, and the access is through the side, so the customers have to walk around the side. This doorway will give them access directly into the bar, which will be obviously more beneficial, but I think the front of the building is actually quite attractive, and this replacement door and window, which they say will match the existing, will actually break up the existing line significantly, I think, and I think it will actually significantly ruin the considered in the current appearance, and I propose that we not allow this. I don't think it's justified really on the benefit to the customer or the pub really.
That's Turnhill.
I don't entirely agree with Councillor Dantzig on this one. I think the difficulty with the current entrance to the pub is it's on the main road, and there's quite a lot of traffic that comes round, stopping at Rockfish, etc. in the evenings. The only other way into the pub is a fire exit, which can't be a routine access. And I think there's an argument that the safety of the people using the pub, etc., would be enhanced if they were allowed to come in from the front elevation, which is essentially where the seating area is. I know it does change the appearance of the building, but I don't think significantly. I think for the benefit of the users, it would be safer all round if they were to get up in and out through the southwest. So I actually recommend that we accept it.
Thank you. Councillor Humphreys.
Yeah, Madam Chair, there was a question. The building is not listed, is it?
No.
It's just the door that you refer to, it's only on the other side then, is that?
There's two doors effectively that face each other. One is an emergency exit, which is opposite the fishmongers.
Yeah.
The other one is on the corner, as you sweep around the corner.
Yes, I didn't realise it was not for general access, because I've been through that door several times.
I was going to say,
I agree with that door. I can see both points of view. I think marginally I would go with approval really.
So, I've got the original proposal, which was for refusal. Is there a seconder for refusal on the basis of its out of character with the building? No? Okay, I've got a proposal for approval from Councillor Turnhill. Is there a seconder for approval, please? Thank you. So, it's proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? I'm abstaining. So, that's approved. Thank you. Now move to Witherham Raleigh, application 19 of the 04964, 5 St John's Road. Construction of single storey rear extension and hip to a gable roof extension, including construction of side dormer, windows and roof lights, new parking area to front. There are no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Toy?
Yeah, I remember looking at this one about a year ago, and the application then was more extensive, and I think we approved it, so this is not so extensive, so there's not a problem. The house is in a very dilapidated condition, and it's being seriously renovated. I'm surprised that there's no comment from Highways Authority. Well, where the car parking is going to come out is horrendously dangerous. There's always cars parked opposite. I'm sure that there's going to be a problem with the parking there. You'd need a very, very wide sight line to be able to see what's coming round the corner from the roundabout and from the bend just up the road. I'm rather surprised that the Highways Authority have not looked at it.
Mm. I've got no comment.
Well, they may do.
They're admittedly on top curves on the opposite side of the road. Mm. But the road is so narrow, there's not even room for a pavement. Mm. The access is still directly onto the carriageway, which I think is not terribly clever. The extensions and all the rest of it going on in the building, I would have no problem with. But I would certainly query.
Yeah, I mean, we've got no comment. I was going to say, we've got no comment from Highways at the moment, so I think what
subject to
Highways. You know, that there's no comment from Highways. No objection from Highways. And we can make a comment that
can we ask for Highways to look
at? Yeah, we can say we're concerned, and we're concerned with the, you know, because it may be that Highways will look and say they just need a very, very large display or something at the front of the parking. I don't know.
Well, I
agree with you. I know where it is, and I do agree with you.
Yeah, general wisdom of any Highways about saying yes, it's acceptable.
Yeah,
I would doubt that wisdom.
Yeah. Well, we'll say that we would appreciate, you know, Highways actually visiting and checking it. But we'll make it subject to Highways anyway.
Subject to Highways, yeah.
So it's proposed, and I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval, subject to those conditions. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. Next application is 19, a bid 04664, 67 Burnside, construction of single storey extension. We have one comment from South West Water, who have said they'll need to know about any building work over or within 3 metres of a public sewer or lateral drain. There are no representations. Councillor Toy?
Well, this is really just a conversion of the garage into a separate accommodation for the husband who's got serious health problems.
Mm.
The only thing is that the passageway between the garage and the house will be filled in, but they're going to open up a passageway the other side. So there's still good access to the back garden. I can't see any problem with this whatsoever. Surprisingly, they wanted to come forward a bit more, and the tree people put their foot down on it. Although next door is closer to the tree than they
are.
This is about 200-year-old oak, so it's quite a valuable old asset there. As far as the extension is concerned, there's no problem whatsoever.
Okay.
I would suggest approval.
Okay, fine. I'll second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. The last application is 19, a bid 04194, 6 Brian Close. Construction of dormer windows to front and rear to enable loft conversion, construction of carport enclosure. There are no comments from statutory council T's and no representations. Councillor Toy?
Well, it looks as though we're only approving the windows, but they put in a full application for conversion of the roof into a separate accommodation. So the windows, the one window that possibly could have a minor overlooking problem on the southeast elevation, is a very small window, but that's just a toilet window, so it'll be obscure glazed anyway. The other windows do not overlook particularly anything important, and around to the back of it, it's open almost over the countryside. So I would recommend approval.
Thank you. I'm happy to second. So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Now move on to two items for consideration. We had a deferred item from the last meeting, which was the draft local list guide consultation, which was like this, which hopefully some people have downloaded and actually got through. East Devon have produced the draft local list guide, which is intended to help local communities to identify and assess features of character with a local heritage value, and it does explain quite clearly the various types of properties and the inclusion of the local list and how you assess it and whether it be approved or not approved. So I don't know if anybody's got any comments with any particular questions on any aspect of this consultation draft, or whether they have any comment that they wish to make at all. If not, would you? Councillor Toy.
I suppose we're always going to run into conflict with East Devon on many of these matters. But how do we locally gather enough information to persuade East Devon that we need to preserve these particular things? That's going to be very tricky.
It clearly sets out in this guide the certain types of information that they would require. And obviously the onus is on the person that wants to put it on the list, whether it be, and they have actually notified the various historical societies and also the Exmouth Civic Society. But a lot of the information that they're asking is information that you would be able to get. If you're saying it's of significant value, then you would need the information and the criteria which is set out, which is, I thought, was quite clear actually, the information that you needed, because it gives you about six or seven, which is age, rarity, historical interest. There's a lot of different aspects to it, and then it says exactly what they would expect to make it. For example, on aesthetic interest, they've said, you know, identify building traditions. This could include work of recognised local architects, builders, engineers. Likely to include some best examples, and then they've given examples of Mark Roll in Exmouth, which is Roll, and the beer, and they've given various ways of which you can get information. I thought it's quite a full guide. And I haven't got any particular points to raise, because I thought it was
step by step.
Step by step, and I thought most people in the community could follow that if they wanted to. And it tells you who can actually make applications to go on the local list. So,
I'll suggest a big hotel straight away.
Councillor Chapman.
Yes, we in Brexington have been trying for ages to get the conservation officers up to Bystock. There's lots of things in Bystock grounds. There's the old well, there's the coach house, there's the dairy, lots of things up there in the building have been preserved by the people that now own those houses, etc., etc. The walled garden, which came up to planning the other day, where someone's going to take part of it down and go and build in there. It was a vegetable garden, you know, it is the old stone building. And what do we do in those circumstances where I think we've been waiting 3.5 years for the conservation officer to come
I think what we'd have to do is really got the criteria that's being asked, the information they want. It might well be that we need to get the information if the town council has particular places or buildings or gardens or whatever that they want to be considered for the local list, then I think we would have to seek to be able to obtain the necessary information. It might be that, I don't think, unfortunately, that the conservation officer or the officer would just come now. I think what they're saying is we would have to provide the information as laid out in this consultation when this comes in, that, in other words, we would have to do the work and get that information. Now, a lot of that is with the owners of houses, or you can get the library, or you can get, actually you can get online now, because we've just done one at work for a particular property, like they did for Roll, in fact, that, you know, when they were doing that. You can get an awful lot of information now online or through libraries or through certain books and things. And I think what they're basically saying is you've got to do the legwork if you're going to want something considered, then the town council can support it and then you can put it forward. But, you know, I don't disagree with you. That's something Holmesden that have asked to be done and we've not heard anything. But I think it's very low down on their priorities at the moment. So I think the idea is we get all the information, or the town council thinks that's a good idea, we should do that, then we need to collect the information. But it will be up to the general public or the people or the historical society or the civic society or us to get that information. I've got a problem asking.
I can understand that. What I don't understand is if they are actually saying, and it might be the way that I've read it, that we should go out and do the research and then put it to them. If that is the case, then why have we got conservation officers? What is the point of having a conservation officer if we've got to go out and we've got to get our residents to research things that we think should be preserved, that are hundreds of years old, have been there for God knows what. They aren't doing the work on it, but they're allowing people to put through planning applications associated with it. This is where I get the problem.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I think what they're basically saying is that they need a research thing. The conservation officer still, it'll be them or the council that will make a decision whether it is of value and they therefore should go on the local list. But the difficulty is, I think, that you know, the conservation officer wouldn't be able to go to every single place and research every single thing. It just wouldn't have the time to do that. So I think, yes, they follow it up once you've done the initial research, or they've got, or the person has got the initial research, like sometimes the civic society have come up with all sorts of information, haven't they? And then they look at it and then they decide what they want to do. I don't think they're expecting, you know, I think they're just expecting, rather than you just say, oh, I like that there, I want it on the local list. I think what they're saying is it's got to be of some value. And why do you think it's of some value? So you need to do a bit for information. Then they would go into more depth, obviously, once whoever it is puts it forward. But I don't think they're going to do the initial bit at all. I think they lead on from that, which is what they've done with the conservation areas around the town. When people have said, we want to add this road or we want to add that road, we've done the initial bit to say when it was built and how it was built and why we think it should be.
Yeah.
And then they've come along and looked at it and they've gone into a bit more depth and said yes or no. So I think it's probably a similar thing. Councillor Mustin.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, yeah, I was very impressed with this document actually. I thought it was very well thought out and written. One query I had was on page 11, section 8.1, the list of people or organisations that can nominate items to include excludes individuals. I wondered why they've excluded individuals, and I think that could well be included, really.
Yeah.
I mean, individuals, it could be council members, as even as board members, individuals, but not ordinary members of the public.
No, I think that's again probably because it has to go through somebody to be looked at, I would imagine, but we can make that point. We'll put that point. Councillor Duncan.
Just then to amplify Rob's point, and that's that people do, and I think you alluded to it when you were talking about people doing their own research, and a lot of people, as well as family tree history, a lot of people do house histories as well, and that could turn up an awful lot of useful information, which, as Rob says, can then feed into an individual representation, maybe via an organisation.
I was going to say, it might well be that you ask the individual to come through the town council or the ward member or whatever, because it does say later on that the assessment's going to have it's going to have a standard form, which is with the proposed asset, and so there must be a standardisation of some sort by reading through it. So I think we can make the point that if an individual wants to nominate anything under any of this criteria, whether they can directly or whether it should come through a locally, you know, one of the groups. Okay. Councillor Nicholas?
As Mary said, we've been working on this for about 3.5 years. We even had the offer of all the work that they had already done. There was a group of them up there in Barstow and that. And all we got back, and I took it up there in Freeman, but all we got back from the conservation officer was a cut and paste thing about why they couldn't do it. Every...
I think this is right. Yeah. So the 7th of March. But they on the original application, they determined it under delegated powers 2 days, 3 days, I think, before the 7th of March.
I have the same emails and phone calls.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, most of the residents didn't understand that what they were determining was the original application, where they had to get their original objections in. And the 7th of March was, in fact, the amended plan. But it has been determined on the original plan, which obviously has caused a certain amount of upset, particularly to the person that's in Kristen Avenue. Is it Kristen Avenue? Yeah, what was my surname?
He's not a happy man.
No. So, and I think also, I think they thought it was they were going to have a, they weren't going to go to delegated, but it did go to delegated. But I'm not. I don't know East Devon's planning sufficiently to know that. You know, because they felt that they'd originally been told it would be discussed at a planning meeting, but it was in fact under delegated powers. And the other unfortunate thing was that due to a problem with the East Devon website when they were moving premises, you couldn't actually see the officer's report on the actual application saying that it should be approved. So there was a lot of... So it has been. I have reported it in because it didn't help that they couldn't see the. Because what they wanted to know was how the officer had made his decision that it should be approved, but of course none of us could see it on site. And then unfortunately they scanned it the wrong way and it was plain paper, and they had to re-scan it. So anyway, so that was very unfortunate. And then the land at the junction of Sultan Road and Roll Road is the is the mast, the mobile phone mast, which I assume, and I don't know, but I can only assume that the Deaf School withdrew their objection because it wasn't going to...
Well, they asked questions.
They asked questions. Yeah. They did put in...
which I assume they're...
that's what I mean. I assume that their fears about the way the level, the frequency it was going to be at wasn't going to interfere with the Deaf School.
That's why we turned it
because
down.
That's why we turned it down. So I presume that was a lay because it was we certainly didn't get anything back. And if the Deaf School hadn't been answered, I would have assumed they would have deferred. So, Councillor Toy.
I thought it was a dead certain we were going to lose that one because of the government legislation on that.
Yeah.
Apparently this is probably to do with this 5G or whatever it is, however many G's we go up
5G,
to.
5G, yeah.
The signals don't travel so far, so they need more masks. So we're going to have a lot more applications coming in for these masks. There's not a lot we can do about it.
No, I think it was just that the planning committee here felt that it could interfere with the frequency, could interfere with the equipment at the Deaf School for people who are deaf, and it might disrupt their, you know, the actual equipment they need to be able to hear anything at all or be able to use their equipment. But I can only assume that the Deaf School must have withdrawn their holding
because
objection because I don't think they would have approved it without. But I don't know, but so those are the two that the two planning decisions that were given us to come out. So there being no other business, I'll close the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm.